So now let's take a brief look at what we do with this model, how we actually do this machines here and this exploration based on this machine. So let me be brave and try to set this one here to true. And what happens now is this machine state machine, which represents one model, so to say, one configured model, will be now becoming visible in the exploration manager. It was before, it was not visible because it was not intended for exploration in this ready state model. But if I'm trying to, this is basically representing the C-sharp model program as is without any configuration, no? This machine. If I'm trying to explore this, I don't know what I have to expect. Either Visual Studio crashes, I hope this does not happen, or I will be able to show you the motivation why I need these other machines for doing the things. Yeah, I think you see it here. No? So what happens, exploration in progress gets more and more, no? State explosion. So that's what we talked before about. No? So like I have this infinite state space, many things can happen, can continue forever. So this doesn't lead me to anywhere. So I aborted that, and congratulations to our China team for this new release. It did not crash. Did exactly what I expected. So for most of those models which have this infinite state space, we need to do a little bit more than just hitting exploration, hitting the exploration button. And again, we will learn in the next 2 days very detailed what to do. But I will give a glimpse of that in this model. So I have this state machine, which I've shown you has the explosion problem. Now, how do I deal with that? I do one of our so-called slicing techniques. The idea of slicing is we take a huge or infinite model and extract out of that what we think is interesting for a particular scenario. It can be a test purpose or whatever. In my case, the scenario is that I set up the connection and session, and I set the so-called credit window, which is a technical terminus, which means in terms of normal humans means that there is no asynchronicity allowed. If the credit window is only one in SMB2, then the contract with the server is that you can send one request, but then you must wait for the response before you can send the next request. And this makes the entire thing synchronous. And that's why it's called all sync here, this machine. No? What I'm doing is basically, this is a trace pattern here. No? I'm saying, okay, every sequence which I want to explore starts with this assumption. There exists exactly one share, this type disk. Then set up connection and session with this parameter 1, meaning synchronous behavior. And then dot, dot, dot means whatever you want. So I basically configured the initial prefix of the model behavior. And then I take this, and this is now model composition, so to say, and I say, okay, combine this prefix here with this, what we have seen before, which has this huge full behavior of the C-sharp model program. So it's like think of two graphs which I'm intersecting, no? And only those things should remain where every potential path in the graph has this initial prefix. And that's what I showed you before. This is basically the exploration result of this. Now it becomes immediately small and finite. There are some more things which I haven't shown you here which restrict the behavior. For example, the number of files which are allowed in the system, and so on. Actually, I can show you that too. So I have another version here of the same behavior. We have just reconfigured my model. This is a very common pattern here. If you look in my model program, I have a variable here under parameters, max number of files. And I'm pruning this model inside of the model program using this variable. And it's set initially to 1. That's why we have seen only one file being created. But I can easily go in my configuration here and just change this parameter before I do the actual model execution by this is here C-sharp code which is embedded, no? By setting it to 2, And maybe I set it even to 3 now, just for demonstration purpose. And then I go and explore this thing now. And you see, I just change one parameter. And I should get something which is a little bit bigger than before, but should still be manageable. And so that's the same model with a slightly different parameter. Another thing which is here is the this scenario here. Sometimes we call this also scenarios, these machines which are used to prune down or slice from the full model. This scenario here is to testing a particular asynchronous situation. And it's typically for our methodology of testing with Peg Explorer that you define the test purposes or scenarios based on things you want to observe in the overall model. No? And here I want have the suspicion as a tester, what happens if I have created a file, I have created 2 files, and I actually trying to send asynchronous close requests. Is there potentially a racing condition? Who will win and what will happen with this racing? No? If, you know, if 2 parties try to close the same file and because of the asynchronicity, one can you send one close request, but then a second close request, but the second close request may be answered before the first close request. And this is again just another configuration, so the same model is taken. Only my assumptions here are a little bit different. I set up the connection and session and allow a depth of asynchronicity of 2. And then I use this one here, which, you know, looks pretty much like a regular expression. No? And it means, okay, 3 connect requests, 3 connect response. And then after that, you can do anything in repetition, which is either create request, create response, close response, or error response. But not the other things like read request, write request, and so on. No? So you kind of exclude this stuff. You prune it down to this particular scenario. If I explore this one, I will again get a different graph from the same model problem. And this graph has something new, and we will see this in lecture 4. It has this diamond state here. We have seen the diamond state before. However, we have not seen a diamond state where we have more than one outgoing arc. No? And this is now non-determinism, because what happened here, we sent a 3 connect request. Now, if you have this diamond, it means, oh, the system under test is not restricted to do just one thing. It can either do this thing here, this is one allowed answer, or it can do that thing, which is another possible answer. And depending on the answer which is allowed, things continue differently. Okay, so now let me move forward and let's try to do something with this. So finally, when I'm happy, it's like I remember the workflow I showed you, I'm exploring, looking at graphs, go back to the model and so on, I can generate the test suite. And I'm doing this now. Yeah. So what this thing does is it takes our 2 machines which we have defined and explored before, in this case the synchronous case with one file and this asynchronous case, and says, okay, for this one and for this one, or this is actually like an or more, I want to create test cases. And it applies to this thing here a test strategy, a test case generation strategy. Now, how does test case generation work? Basically, we take something like this, which is a state machine, and we are trying to find sequences which cover all links. So for the entire test suite, for the guarantee which you should have, there should be at least for every link in your original graph, should be one sequence which will cover this link eventually at least once. And this happened here, no? And I see sequences. So these are the sequences which are required to cover. Interesting, this actually does not look like a sequence, right? So that's related to the fact that in the middle, this is this asynchronous thing that we have these diamonds which have more than one outgoing transition. Because if the system under test has choices what it can do, I cannot simply create a sequence in that case. No? I need to preserve those choices until test runtime. But let's not get too deep into that. And if that's not clear, we will clearly talk about this in more detail later. No? But the base picture is that's our test suite. And what also happened, I'm not sure whether that happened, so I run it again. I'm generating now test code. So this takes this graph and translates it into C-sharp code, which can be executed under Visual Studio test tools. And here it is. No? So this code was generated by a tool, etc. So this is what we just generated a second ago. And for each of those initial states, which we see here, in the test suite, no? This is the beginning state of a test case. We will find a test method here, a Visual Studio test method, which basically executes this code, this test case. And it has a lot of logging code and other stuff there. So this is kind of, this last step is by construction, by definition. I usually do not need to look in the generated test code. We know that many people want to look there anyway, also when they want to debug it, so we're trying to add features to the tool to make it readable and understandable. But the idea is really more like a code generator. No? So like today people also don't look in the MSIL, in the assembler code, which is generated from C#. Hopefully in some future the same will happen to model-based testing, but we have still some way to go. So we have this code now, and now Visual Studio kind of figured out these are the tests which have been generated here, and I can try to execute them now. And I have set up here on my machine a little share, so I'm actually now testing against this share on my machine. So there is an error. Something went wrong. So most of the tests succeeded, but unfortunately this test did not succeed. Let me click on this now. This is Visual Studio standard technology here, test tools. So this is a test log which runs results from this case. So here you see the log of the various test steps. You know? So for example, if we covered a requirement, then this log statement will belong to that. During test execution, this particular requirement was covered. The actual error message, let's try to understand this one, which is generated here from the generated test code, is expected a matching event, found the actual event error response for the read operation. So there was an error response returned for a read operation, but the potential answers of the system was not an error response, but a read response, or the expected answer. So the model expected that there is no error response here, but a read response. And it's numbered here 1, and I think also something we would need to improve over time, because in theory there may be other potential events which could have been also able to be possible in the states, and would say 1, 2, 3, and so on. In this case, there is only one possibility. If you look a little bit down in the log, we can see what happened. So we had a tree connect request response, create request, create response. So we are in the situation where we just created an empty file. And now a read request happens. And the server, so the actual implementation of SMB2 on my laptop, returned an error. The model expected a read response. Now, I know what the problem is. So it's not a bug which here in my demo. It's really a bug in the model in this case. And the bug is that for some reason, which I don't know, but makes sense to me from a design perspective, find it. The protocol SMB2 says if you are trying to read from an empty file, then an error will be produced. I think the reason for that is that SMB2 can optimize away an empty file to a non-existing file. It can basically treat an empty file like a file which would not exist. It can automatically delete it from the server or something like this. So the contract, if you look in the document, actually states you read from an empty file, then the response from the server will be error. And we haven't modeled that. No? In fact, we have here, we know the problem. It's a part of this demo here. We have a Boolean variable here in our model which enables or disables this behavior. No? So, and currently we have set it to true. This creates this error. So I set it to false, which would go here in the model somewhere. You see that this is basically used to enable or disable the read response. Now the read response will be not enabled for the empty file if this variable is false. Yeah? And instead the error response would be enabled. Now I go through the procedure again. I regenerate the test code. And I'm going to execute this. I'm careful, hit this one here. Yes to all, because code was regenerated. Uh-oh. Okay, this was probably related to a recompilation step which may have been missing here. Let me go to this again. To be sure that we did the right thing. I think what I have to do now is save all. Recompile. Oh no, save all now. Okay. This demo shows also, among other things, how easy you can adapt a model to changes in the requirement. So this could have been also a different situation. It could have been like version 1 of my product said the response for an empty file, reading an empty file, should be okay, but in version 2 they decided to change this to false. No? I just need to go to the model, change a little bit in the model, and with one click of a button, I can generate how many tests I ever have again, which adapt to the new behavior.